It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are coming into the month of April. I guess last week was April 1st when we were on. Today it is April 8th. And I compiled a list of events that take place in the month of April. These are all events that you will see this month. Perhaps some of those near the end of the month, if April turns out to be cold, some of these could push themselves into May. But for the most part, these are the things that we should be seeing or have already seen. And that includes the speckled alder, which is yielding pollen. And if you get up and look at the speckled alder, you'll see the female flowers are quite red right now. Red elderberry has broken leaf bud. That is, I can see the first little tendrils of leaves coming out of the red elderberry. These are both events that take place around the 3rd of April. Yesterday, we should have seen our first infant moth. Our Compton's tortoiseshell should be today, and morning cloak should be tomorrow. Now, those are all averages, and you can switch that around. But we heard from the kids down in Little Falls that they had morning cloak butterflies down there. I would think by the end of the week, with the warm weather that is coming our way, we will have butterflies, whether it's the Compton's tortoiseshell, the morning cloak, maybe a comma, or perhaps the infant moth. But those are all, should all be out between now and the weekend on average. And by the way, if you're going by the post office in Grand Rapids, if you live near or travel past a large brick building, look at the south-facing wall. Look at the base of the south-facing wall. You should see dandelions any day now this far north. Hazelbrush should be flowering on the 10th of April. That apparently has already taken place in Baxter, according to Mr. Masakovich's class. And so I looked yesterday very hard. I did not see any hazel flowers, but this warm weather coming could be the kicker. The next things that should happen will be the frog songs and the return of the Phoebe. Now, when I say frog songs, my order of occurrence is first chorus frogs, then wood frogs, and then peepers. But it's 13th on the chorus frog, 16th on the wood frog, and 18th on the peeper. And those are just averages. And in there are many years when it's peepers and then wood frogs and then chorus frogs. It varies all over the place. But the Phoebe should be back around the 15th. 14th is the average return date for the Phoebe. And that's the one that shouts out, teacher, teacher, teacher. Or no, I'm sorry, that's the oven bird. I'm thinking I'm way ahead of myself. The Phoebe is the one that says its name, Weeby, 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 and it wags its tail. It's the one that nests up under the eaves, always has a roof over its head. So look for the Phoebes to be coming back. Fly honeysuckle, a shrub in the woods, should be flowering toward the middle of the month. Red maple should flower by the 19th. Mosquitoes should be out on the 19th. I know you're happy to hear that. Tamaracks on the 21st, leatherwood on the 23rd. And at the end of the month, painted turtles should be out and splashing around by the 27th of April. Those are all events that take place in April. Some of the things that I've seen in the last week, yesterday, I snuck out to the lake, tiptoed past the eagle's nest, and noticed that the lake level is really, really low, which reminds me there is a high danger of forest fires. So be really careful. No open flames outside right now. There's not anything green out there to suppress fire. Every bit of fuel that is out there is dry and ready to burst into flames. So be really careful. The water level is really low on my lake, and the water in the soil and around the area is low. And so there is a great deal of danger associated with that.
Hey, but John, can I interrupt you for one second?
Please.
Please make another gong for us here.
Oh, I can do that. Yeah, hang on.
We don't normally like to interrupt the Phenology Report, but this is People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. We had another membership, a text to 218-326-1234, and longtime member Suzanne Derby is putting an extra bit into her sustaining membership. She said the very mature tamarack trees in Martin Luther King Park in Rochester are barely budded out.
Ooh.
I never feel lonely for northern Minnesota when I walk by them.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Tamaracks, you know, I turkey hunt down around Albert Lea, and there are lots of little pockets of lowland that have tamaracks in them down there. So you don't think of tamaracks as being that far south, but they are. And the fact that they're starting to show a little green is pretty nice. And that's down by Rochester?
Yes. Yep.
So there, we should see that by the 21st up here. April 21st is the average date for the return or for the beginnings of the greening up of the tamaracks. So we will be watching that and seeing how that moves, see how much time there is between Rochester and Grand Rapids. It'd be interesting to find out.
And our earlier pledger, Randy, he upped his membership from Stuartville, but he's actually here at his lake home in Cohasset on Little Bass Lake. So his phenology is about the same as ours. And he's looking forward to hearing all the signs of spring this April, in April, this morning. Randy, thanks again. Good to hear from you this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Randy. And
if you feel connected to spring, to nature, to a community, when you tune into KEXE, we need you now. 218-326-1234. That's the number to call, or you can text that number as well. One more there, John. Actually, no, I shouldn't say one more. There'll be lots more coming in. So many folks coming forward. We can't thank you enough. From talking about tamarack trees to hearing from a member from Tamarack.
Oh, perfect.
Elizabeth Doring, thank you so much. Increasing a sustaining membership, and we sure appreciate it. We'll take that classic sports page t-shirt that is available. You can check it out at our website right now at kaxe.org. Thanks so much, and we'll get back to a little phenology now.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about Crooked Lake. I went out there. The water is very low. There is a band of a margin of melted ice around the edge of the lake, so there is a little bit of water around the whole edge of the lake. I noticed three hooded mergansers out there, two males and a female, and that, you know, the one male was sort of off to the side. He didn't get too close to the other male. I'm sure there's a bit of competition going on there. There were also a pair of Canada geese out there. And I heard sandhill cranes calling from the area around the lake this past week, though I did not get a chance to see them out there. I have seen them on the fields along Blue Heron Drive. Speckled alder, lots of catkins on the speckled alders are yielding pollen right now in the Grand Rapids area. I think if you went out and found a speckled alder near you, and gave one of those long male flowers a snap with your finger, you would see a little cloud of yellow pollen spreading into the wind. The hazelnut we talked about, not doing anything. American and beaked, both are the same. A pair of mallards flew into Crooked Lake yesterday while I was watching. I heard a barred owl call yesterday afternoon, which was kind of strange. My neighbor Marvin Beer came over yesterday. We sat and chatted, he and Barb and I, and Marvin was telling me that he got up yesterday morning and his bird feeder was absolutely spotless clean. All of the shells, all of the little sticks, all of the stuff you get when you buy black oil sunflower seeds, gone. And that told him and tells me that the black bears are out and cleaning up feeders. And so I brought all my seeds inside, and I brought my suet inside last night so that the bear wouldn't dine. I don't mind him dining. And the one bear that came last year was tall enough to stand up and eat clean off the feeder without breaking it. But he does have a bad habit of walking off with the suet feeder, and then I have to go wandering around looking for the little cage that I put my suet in. So I took that in last night, too, so that he wouldn't get that. Nanny berry, which is an interesting opposite branched plant, produces a kind of a fig-like berry. Fig-like in the sense that when it's ripe, it's kind of gooey and not, it's not squishy and sweet like a cherry. It's sort of gooey and more like a fig or a raisin with a big seed. So, but delicious. And they're not yet open, but the buds are swelling. The buds on the nanny berry look like candle flames. They're really tall and quite pretty. Friend of mine saw a turkey vulture north of Grand Rapids on the 4th of April. So they have made it this far, or at least one has. This time of year, I'm always looking for bud break, and I was looking very closely at my red oak. And the red oak is the one where the seeds hang on forever in the winter. And I got to looking at seed attachment points on the red oak branches. And where the seeds have attached, there are now 5, 6, 7 strings about, oh, maybe a centimeter or maybe 15 millimeters long. And these strings were connected limb to leaf. And that is one of the reasons why the leaves don't come off of the oaks very easily, because that on most trees, there's this thing called an abscission layer. So in the fall, when they're getting ready to drop their leaves, they form this corky layer between the limb and the leaf. And that layer then helps the leaf to separate off of the tree without damage, and also seals up the limb against any invasion from whatever there might be floating around in the air that would cause disease to spread into the tree. In the case of the oak, that abscission layer is not there at all. It's simply these threads holding that leaf for dear life. John, I saw... Go ahead.
We've got one more here, John.
Have we? All right.
Yes. I told you I would interrupt you because folks want us to know that they support learning about nature every Tuesday. It's People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota, KAXE.org. Thanks so much to our friend Paul Martinetto from Aurora, renewing his membership. We hear from Paul texting, telling us about nature in one of our sweetheart towns, Aurora, you know, like Effie and Emily and Virginia.
Right.
We also heard from Mark Miller from Rural Goodland. He said he heard a report last Friday on WDSE-FM that watchers spotted 150 golden eagles going by on Hawk Ridge.
Okay.
3,000 bald eagles. Don't know the time frame for the numbers.
3,000 and 150. So 15 and 30. 15 and 300. That's...
Getting mathy on us.
Yeah, I'm lost. It's not as few as I thought, 1 in 1,000, but it's certainly less than 1 in 50. Isn't it? 15, 45, maybe not. 1 in 20.
We love hearing from you. Coming up, we'll have best wishes, and Charlie's going to be joining us, our phenology coordinator, but we'll let John finish up his phenology report now. Give us a call, 218-326-1234.
Pretty much just a list of the different birds that I've seen. I mentioned fox sparrow. I saw my first fox sparrow this last week. I still have dark-eyed juncos hanging out. I got a note from, and I'm not going to remember his name, Eben. Sorry, Eben, can't think of your last name. But anyway, Eben sent a note along with a picture of a piebald junco. At least I believe it to be a piebald junco, which is a bird that has, piebald just refers to sort of a mixture of patches of white along with the regular color. You can have piebald deer, you can have piebald squirrels, you can have piebald birds. But I believe that that's what it was. When I looked at the picture, it certainly looked like a junco with a lot of white on it. And I'll maybe put that picture up if Eben has no objections. I'll put that picture up on Season Watch, and you can have a look and see what you think. So juncos, purple finches, goldfinches. The goldfinches are definitely turning color. I still have pine siskins. I have a few red poles, though that number is definitely going down. I mentioned the goldfinches. I have two or three goldfinches that are quite spotted right now with their new yellow feathers coming in for summer. Of course, the red-breasted and white-breasted nuthatches, chickadees, blue jays. I had a pair of kestrels sitting along Blue Heron Drive this last week, a male and a female. The male has a black band on the tip of its tail, which is probably the easiest way to differentiate the two. That's the phenology report for this week. As always, if you have notes that you'd like to share, boy, I'd love to hear from my listeners. So if you've got some things in your neighborhood, send them along. Tell me where you're at, because I always like to have that as well. When I put a note in, I have to note, you know, where it comes from, because as I've always said, all phenology is local.
That's the Phenology Show for today. You can catch it later this week and through our Season Watch newsletter. Go to KAXE.org. It's 741. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer.